Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Good evening and welcome to the show tonight. We're broadcasting from Boulder, Colorado, United States, and it's been a beautiful sunny day. You know, I'm so glad you joined us tonight because our guest is David Hoffmeister, and we're going to be talking about quantum forgiveness. And we're going to be bringing David on in just a few minutes. But I want to talk just a little bit about the idea of embodiment, to embody our beliefs, our thoughts, our feelings. So often when we see the events that are happening in the world, we can have an idea of being saved, of being a deity or a being coming in and strong-arming the outcome, if you will, and that it's not what the purpose of our existence is. We're here to live out the experience of being a human being. All of the resolution of our separateness, of our disconnectedness, is the journey itself. At some point, our souls chose to go into separation, chose to go into darkness, and then what's so exciting about these times now is that our souls have chose to come out of the darkness and come out of this idea of separation, but the entire journey is intended for our human experience. We're here to resolve through our humanness, our human aspects, to experience it from the human point of view. And what makes that important is the idea of embodiment. When we talk about embodiment, to embody our beliefs, our thoughts, or our feelings, that's to bring it all the way down into the human who is being part of this experience, to unify ourselves from that God consciousness or soul consciousness, however you want to perceive it, and bring that unity, that knowingness, not a belief, but a knowingness, all the way down into our humanness through embodiment. It's an example of that would be how you trust yourself. So often we can have thoughts where we second guess our potential. We can second guess our worthiness. We can second guess our deserving of something we might perceive in our life. But when you embody it, embodiment is the idea where there's nothing contrary. There's no separation contrary in our consciousness. If I have a belief that I'm separate from the divine, then I haven't totally embodied the divine because there's a disconnect somewhere in my consciousness. I like to think of it as your physical body is literally the canvas of our karma or our separation or unity. And so when we bring it into our human beingness, when we embody it, we've resolved any incongruencies within our sense of self. And the more you can integrate that knowingness, there's a result of that, and that result is a genuine feeling of peace, a genuine belief of freedom. In truth, we're always innocent. We're always a divine being. We can't separate from our truth. That truth within us is infinitely there, awaiting our rediscovery of it. And so to be able to embody that truth is to bring it all the way down into our human consciousness, our human beingness. And I like this. When I was preparing for the show tonight, I tuned in to see what I should talk about, and this embodiment came up, and I really like it, and I'm excited to get David on, and we're going to bring him on in just a minute. But the idea of quantum forgiveness, there's something about the quantum field and forgiveness that I'm really interested to talk to David about. So let's not waste any more time. David, welcome to the show.
Hi, Les. It's great to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
I understand that you've touched thousands of lives with a consistently peaceful state of mind. I love your radiant joy and your dedication to the truth. How did you come up with this topic of quantum forgiveness?
Well, I've always been interested in quantum physics and working with A Course in Miracles for so many years. I think it's going on a quarter of a century now. It really dawned on me that we were talking about the same thing when we go into quantum field and we talk about true forgiveness, or that beautiful state of non-judgment. That basically the mystics and saints and now the quantum physicists are really talking about the same experience. And so it seems quite natural for me to put those terms together, quantum forgiveness. I think when I think of quantum physics, I think the major discovery of quantum physics several decades ago was this idea that there really wasn't an external world outside of consciousness. And for so many decades and centuries, science has basically operated on the premise that there is an external world that is observable and measurable, and that the experimenter is apart from that empirical world. So I was quite excited with the discoveries of quantum physics that there is no world outside of the mind of the perceiver or outside of consciousness, that everything is completely unified and there is really no separation. Everything is completely connected. Everything is energy. And I find this is really the same experience that Jesus points to in A Course in Miracles, where he's talking about a unified awareness or a unified perception. He calls it the happy dream or the real world or true perception. But I'm just really in a state of just amazement and wonder at how really there are so many roads that point to this very same experience, and that's really, you know, what I like to talk about now. That really is my joy and my happiness.
You know, if I think about the quantum field, I can imagine a bunch of scientists gathered around this ginormous microscope, and they're looking down the quantum field, and they're observing it. It'd be silly for them to think that the quantum field ever made a mistake, if you will, or a more tangible idea of that might be looking at the clouds in the sky. There's no such thing as a wrong cloud, and in those two scenarios, it's really easy to see that everything's fulfilling its own nature. And then you add the word forgiveness, and the moment I read that word, I relate it directly to our humanness, this idea from our human perspective that somehow we've committed a wrong and we need to be forgiven.
Yeah, it's interesting that I think I was raised in Christianity as well, so there's an association with wrongdoing or some sense of wrongness, and I think that when we start to open up and we start to come into that experience of this deep peace and the innocence that you mentioned, then that experience is so strong, and even if it's just a glimpse, we just have this strong awareness or knowingness that we really have never done anything wrong. And so it takes it away from this idea of being wrong as human beings or having done wrong behaviors to having a shift in perception to just see that this peace, if we want to call it the correction's always been there, and it's always been available to us, and all we have to do is really accept it. And we don't have to, like, work it out. It's much more like they talk about a state of grace. It's just always been our nature, and we really must simply need accept that grace. And then we see that there never was a problem. We always were perfect as we were created by God. We were always perfect in our source.
There's I think there's a real connection from the feeling, the field of peace, and understanding that I was going to say unconditional forgiveness, but it's actually unconditional innocence. And knowing that innocence beyond any belief that we might have been told or taught in our youth, to transcend that story we were told and genuine believed in our innocence, there's I think a deep sense of relief, of comfort, of rest that comes when you connect with that knowingness.
Yeah. I think that's something that is so easy to relate to, and we were talking about that before the show started, calling it like this ocean of peace, and both of us we're feeling how much gratitude we feel for that. And then I like in your intro, too, to the show tonight, where you were talking about the human elements in the sense that I like to think of forgiveness and quantum forgiveness and miracles as very, very natural. And in fact, I feel like I would call them ordinary miracles, whereas a lot of times from that perspective of believing that there's a God out there somewhere, you know, beyond the stars and the planets and so forth, and we want to come back to see that it's really our home is right in our heart. We've never left. It's very ordinary, and we don't need to have, like, extreme signs and symbols. We just need to experience this very, very comforting, peaceful, still awareness that is always in us, and it's really who we are. So I like that idea when you were talking about embodiment. I think that we are to be the living representations of love and light and joy. And for me, that's been the burning fire in my heart. That's why I have accepted invitations and traveled around the world so extensively, and why I'm so comfortable being with my brothers and sisters wherever I go, regardless of what they profess to believe in or not believe in. And it feels like there's this deep connection there that's so, so natural. And that's our purpose, really, is just to be in that experience and extend that. And that's really, I feel like, what our lives are meant to be. And so you sharing this show and having that 30-year career in broadcasting, I think all of those skills and abilities are being brought to this purpose. And the same for me. Everything that I seem to experience throughout my life has really been used fully just to extend this presence.
Right. I like that. I find if I refine the why of what motivates me to do what I do, the root of it really, there's a sense of compassion in my heart for humanity as a whole. And I think there's a real genuine joy when you engage that heart space of holding that unconditional love for people who can't see their relationship with their truth. I find a lot of joy from fulfilling that sense of compassion.
Yeah, I feel it. I feel it coming through, and I feel, for me, the compassion wants to come through in ways that people can relate to it. I find that people are not really interested in a lot of theory and theology that kind of goes over their head or that they can't understand. They want to really feel it. They want signs and symbols that, you know, we know just the simpleness of shaking a hand or of a hug or an embrace, of just a soft look from one's eyes, just gazing into another's eyes. You know, these are the gentle kind of expressions that come through what seems to be our human nature, and it's really our divinity just shining out through the human nature. And that's why I really have gotten into music and using movies and using a lot of things that people can really relate to, that they relax and their heart opens up. And I don't know if you saw that movie that Robert Redford did years ago called The Horse Whisperer, where he helps the Scarlett Johansson character kind of go through a healing, and the horse who in the movie. But I just saw a movie very recently which was based on a man named Buck, who I guess was the consultant for that movie. And the whole movie just showed his integrity, his calmness, his gentleness, his compassion in day-to-day living with the people that he met, with the horses, and even a sense of being able to ride a horse, almost like in the quantum field, where the horse was just an extension of his love, and the horse would just flow so beautifully. And to me, I just love seeing movies like that, and I love seeing examples and demonstrations of like grace in motion, or this innocence that we're talking about, just where it's just so tangible, you can just feel it. And I'm just so grateful that we have that in our lives, and that, you know, that's the focus of our lives, is sharing that.
It's curious you bring up the movie Buck, because in that movie it talks about a really brutal childhood of just point blank abuse in very profound ways. I mean, extremely difficult childhood, and yet he turns around and, like you said, I like the idea of quantum field, because in that movie he travels around the country and teaches people how to deal with their horses. And he's talking about the horse being a mirror of the owner. And he has such a gentleness, and I like the word grace, to himself that the horses respond to. And he's a very moving person. He's a very powerful person just in his presence, just him being him. He's not acting. He's not... there's a real simple grace to it, and I find it fascinating how somebody's life journey can start off with such chaos and yet end up with such grace.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? That's the thing I was struck by in the movies too, just the turnaround that he said it's a choice. And I think it's just good for us to have lots of examples of the power of that choice. We don't have to be victims. We don't have to hold on to these hurtful memories as if they are who we are. You know, we can rise up and transcend and then just be a blessing, you know, to the whole universe, to the whole planet. And it was funny in that movie too, because he made reference to Robert Redford as Bob, meeting Bob, because you and I know these canyons out here in Utah pretty well too, and Bob lives out part of the time of the year out here down in Provo Canyon. But it was beautiful too, because he kind of had a little sparkle in his eye, Buck did, saying to, you know, that, well, Bob, you know you're pretty good at this. You could make a living at this. And so it's almost just the humbleness and the beautiful simplicity of that presence that goes beyond any kind of an act. Because clearly Buck, he wasn't acting. As Robert Redford said, he's the real deal. And I think it's great that we have witnesses of that. And I know that you and I, that is our inspiration as well. I enjoyed chatting with you before we started here, because you were talking about coming up with a network using your broadcasting skills, maybe a television network. And I just think that's very exciting, to be able to use media to bring comfort and blessing and really just be a witness for what is real and true, and not feel that we have to hold on to any of these painful perceptions, you know, that we can release them.
Oh yeah. It's a discovery of yourself. It's not a creation. It was always there. The truth is there eternally. And it's the truth is so patient, isn't it? I mean, we can look all over the place for it, and still it just sits there waiting any day now. And it's eternally there awaiting our rediscovery of it. And so often, you know, sometimes when people are on their, quote, spiritual path, that they feel like they have to complete something or achieve something, and it's more of a unpeeling or a unachieving. It's throwing out everything that has caused separation, caused a sense of separation, because in truth there is never any separation. It's a discovery of a truth that was always there.
Yeah, and it's the part that I like about quantum is that it's just showing that really everything that we perceive is just really our state of mind. It seems to be mirrored back, like Buck was talking about, mirrored back from the horses to the horse owners. I like that. I just like to think of the whole cosmos and all the galaxies in the same way that you could say, thinking about the human body. It seems through Newtonian physics and science, you know, we were always taught about scale and, you know, the micro scale and subatomic particles and atoms and molecules, and then the vast cosmos with these stars and black holes and things that astronomers have been fascinated with. But if we really want to talk about embodiment and simplicity, we could say that actually the body is quite a barometer for our state of mind. And it's very close, you might say, in our experience. And so whenever there seems to be discomfort or things, dis-ease and so on and so forth, we could say that really, actually, that's quite a gift, because the mirroring is there in a very direct way for us to go within and discover our innocence and realize that we really have no reason to be ill at ease when happiness and peace and joy is our natural inheritance. So actually, you might say, you know, we can thank the body for being such a close witness to our state of mind. And, you know, in one sense, like a biofeedback sense, it's quite helpful in really coming to true quantum forgiveness, because you can be very honest with yourself about how you feel, and you don't have to stick with the idea that there's some external cause of how you feel. You can start to take full responsibility for your state of mind, and that's really a spectacular journey there.
It's like the body's the screen of the movie the mind has created.
Yeah, I like that. I like how you talked about it, like a canvas you mentioned earlier. That's just a wonderful, like very close canvas, painter's canvas, so that you know, there's not a sense of trying to evade anything. You can, you know, just be very grateful for that.
Yeah, when I was 35, I started doing this practice of, I spent time in front of these things called television transmitters, and they're really high power. The last one I made provided 1,000,000 watts of service. And I was trying to wrap my noggin around this idea of the energy that I was working with, because I couldn't really feel it. I couldn't perceive it. I'm making immense amounts of this energy, the television signal that I was broadcasting, and yet I couldn't perceive it with my five senses. And there was a moment in time that really cracked my life open when I connected with this unconscious anger I had in my psyche, and it came roaring out of my body, the space my body's in, and it really threw me off. It was that moment that my life took a turn and sent me on a new direction. Mm-hmm. And so I started paying attention to my body over and over and over again. I do it every day. I do it all the time. I give consciousness to any incongruency I'm feeling in my body. And what I've found over the years is there can be all kinds of unresolved consciousness in our own psyche, in our own subconscious. I call it our karma. And all it wants is to be recognized and felt and released, and then we're free of it. But when we push how we feel down and we don't pay attention to our body, and that's a big one, we pay attention to these little rectangular things called cell phones, and we text each other, and we watch rectangular things called screens, and that's not our body, but our body is the canvas that our incongruencies will be felt on, and thus resolved and released, and purifying our energy so we can convey divine love without exploding.
Yeah, it makes you feel grateful for it. I'm so glad that you had that experience where you just started to pay attention so closely, because I find that that's one of the biggest things that people raise up, like, you know, where is this guilt coming from? Where is the sadness coming from? Where is the hurt coming from? And I would talk a lot about the subconscious as well, and, you know, very much share the same ideas, that it has to come up. It has to be welcomed to come up. It can't be denied or repressed or pushed away. And it seems like when the spirit pours through me, that it's just always facilitating that, always providing a safe presence for the allowance of that to come up without any judgment. Just allow it to come up. So it's beautiful that our pathways have shown us the value of that, because that's one of the things I emphasize over and over when I do talks and really just join with people in a very heart-to-heart way. That's one of my big messages.
When you don't recognize the magnificence of your being, of your truth, of that inherent connection, that oneness with the divine that you are now and always, when you're not cognitive of that truth, sometimes when you feel some of these wells of emotion come into your conscious space, there can be a sense of panic, because for myself, I didn't ever show anger because it was such a decisive emotion in my family of origin. I learned quickly as a young child that when the feeling of anger was personified in my household, everyone would feel afraid. And so as an infant, I realized, well, I don't want to make anybody feel afraid, so I'm not going to ever show the emotion of anger. And then 35 years later, I've got 100 million watts of anger in my subconscious. Mm. And when I first would go to feel it, it was very intimidating, because I didn't have any experience with it, because my only behavior with it was suppression. But if you're listening to this, the first time you feel it, it can be very intimidating because you don't have any experience with it, but just be with it. You don't have to fix it. You don't have to resolve it. When you quit resisting it and just feel it, you start to get a sense or an experience with it. And it's just like anything. There's a sense of intuitive understanding that happens when you spend time with anything. And so the first few times you connect with your emotions, it can feel very discomforting because it's not a natural or normal thing you've done, and so you don't have any intuition or any understanding of it. But just by being present with it and allowing the feeling to express in and of itself, with nothing to fix, just feeling it, you're gonna develop a sense of understanding of it, and it's its ability to create a fearful response is going to dissolve, and then you're on your way to really making some ground in clearing out that kind of energy from your persona.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. And I like that you bring up your story in the sense that with your family of origin, it was very much became an ingrained habit of not feeling the anger, not allowing yourself to even feel the anger. And I know through counseling with people and working with people, actually, that's why I use a lot of movies now, because people feel very relaxed watching the movies. It doesn't feel quite as threatening as maybe being in a family situation or in a very confrontive kind of relationship or a very intense relationship. But as we know, when we watch the movies, the emotions can get triggered and come up. So it was quite a few years ago when I began to develop techniques for people to watch movies in a new way, not as an entertainment or as an escapism, but actually as a way where they could feel relaxed and let some quite intense emotions come to the surface and then give them some tools to work with those emotions. Because I think a lot of men are stereotyped into believing, it's part of the belief system of being the strong, quiet type. And actually that is very inhibiting as far as our mental health and spiritual growth as well. It's not really a male or female issue, but it certainly seems to play out that way in terms of sexual stereotypes in many cultures. But so I've enjoyed just coming up with all kinds of tools, and that I would say are more enjoyable and fun and engaging. So movie watching, the Spirit gave me a pathway to Spirit back to God called The Movie Watcher's Guide to Enlightenment. And people have turned that into their spiritual path now. People talk about
Nice. Yoga,
meditation, Tai Chi and so forth. And then what? Movie watching? Wait a minute, how did that come in there? But I use sports, golf and basketball, tennis, because that was where my interest was, and the Spirit used those as kind of meditative, open-eyed meditative experiences for me to come into the zone and come into that stillness and peace. And then with the movies, the music came in there as well, but now I've collaborated with dear friends, and we've developed like an online movie watcher's guide to enlightenment where people can start to get in touch with those emotions, like we'll say the anger that we just were talking about, and then when it's up and they're tempted to panic or shut down or push it out of awareness, we even have like an emotional index that's part of the online movie watcher's guide to enlightenment where people can follow their emotions and then look them up and then actually be given movies to watch that will help them move through those emotions. So it's
nice.
Quite sophisticated, and it's quite unique, actually. So that's just a tool that people may want to just, some of your listeners may want to just try it out. It's called mwge.org for Movie Watcher's Guide to Enlightenment. And I think along with a lot of online tools, that's something that's quite a unique way. And people say it's quite enjoyable to wake up and heal with the movies.
I can really see how that would be effective. When I had teenagers, if you sat down with them and started talking face to face, there was a sense of perhaps discomfort in that direct attention. But if you're in a car and you're driving and there's this car driving going on, it takes the attention away from being so direct. And I can see how a movie would be the same way. So you're watching a movie and you're feeling all these emotions well up in you, but yet there's this movie going on. It doesn't put the attention square on you. The attention's on the movie, and that creates a safe place of having those feelings and still not take the direct brunt of somebody else's awareness. I really like that. What kind of responses have you got from people who've participated with that?
Well, it's been quite amazing over the years, because it started with my experience, and then when I started sharing it with others, I got such wonderful feedback and such amazing responses that I first started to have movie gatherings with people, because people would come and it was much less confronting and direct to be able to watch a movie together. And then as I cleared my consciousness out, then the spirit could come through with commentary of what people could look for, kind of movie setups. There was amazing responses. I remember there was an elderly couple one time who had never seen The Matrix, and they from the trailers they weren't so sure that they wanted to see it.
Sure.
And I was doing a movie gathering, and they came along, and I gave a very thorough setup of the metaphysics and the context and how helpful it could be, and then I paused the movie as I went through and gave very inspired, enlightened commentary every step of the way. And at the end, this elderly couple were just beaming. They were saying, "Well, we're so glad we watched it with you, because we would have never seen all that you saw. And we would have, you know, you were like a guide for us, taking us in." And they just had big smiles on their faces, and they felt very fulfilled at the end, but they weren't even sure they would have watched it without the commentary. So I would say that it's not just so much like when we put on a movie just for entertainment and follow it through to its conclusion. It's there's a finesse to really pausing it at certain times, and especially when there's a lot of intense emotions coming up, it allows you to really welcome them up and allows you, as you said, to feel things that really are necessary to be felt so that they can be released and a new perspective can come in. So short answer is I've had amazing responses all around the world, because Hollywood's big in all these countries, and I can go and get the movie with subtitles, and we all in the whole theater, we all go down the rabbit hole together and have these amazing experiences. And I call them the modern day parables. I know Jesus taught a lot with parables, because he really wanted his teachings to be able to be related to, and that's what has happened in my travels and journeys of people. I'll show a relationship movie like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind with Jim Carrey and Kate Winslet. And by the end of the movie, after a discussion, there'll be all these young couples in the audience with these sparkly eyes, almost like they're seeing some of the blocks in their consciousness and their relationships for the first time. And they just are so filled with gratitude that there's this new inroad to actually get this unconscious darkness up and out and do it in a way that they find enjoyable too.
Well, that process sounds like it would work on the movie called Everyday Life. If we take If we take the seeming conundrum of our human consciousness and look at it for what it is, it's really a signpost of our how we've disconnected with truth. And I think that there's a point in compassion where the story means less and less, in the sense that the more you understand the truth, the more irrelevant the disconnect is, because the disconnect doesn't have any truth to it. It's just a story. It's just a belief that we've decided to believe. And to look at the modern day story that's playing out and pause the movie, pause reality, and look at the underlying reason of or belief or thought or feeling of that of the disconnect is also the point of healing and resolution and integration and reunion with the truth.
Yeah. I just feel it too, that it is like a quantum shift of mind, because the early scientists that discovered the atom and the protons and the neutrons and electrons, you know, believed they discovered a thing, and yet even the discoverer of the atom was hinting at quantum when the atom was discovered, saying that atoms aren't things, they're potentials. And when we look at stories, they seem to be very, very linear and concrete and filled with grievances and victimization and mistreatment. And basically, when we look at the world, it seems very solid. The body seems very solid and the world seems very solid. But if we take that same experience that the discoverer of the atom found, that the world is just potentials, and it really is just thoughts and beliefs. It's really a world of ideas that we're dealing with. We may say things like, oh, I have thoughts, and then thoughts can be manifested, but even the manifesting part is still part of this duality, as if there's thoughts and then manifested thoughts that are different from the thoughts. And that's what I found helpful with quantum physics, and that's what I find helpful with the workbook of A Course in Miracles. It basically bridges the gap and shows you that the thoughts that you think, and the world that you think you see are the same. The beliefs that you hold and the world that you believe is external to the mind, to consciousness, are actually the same. So literally, we're doing it to ourselves, so to speak. And the good news is, when we forgive, it's not forgiving behaviors. It's not forgiving what was done to us. We actually have this amazing quantum forgiveness moment where we realize that we are forgiving what never happened. You know, that separation is something that is a hallucination. It's not a reality. It's not a truth. And so I'm very excited about quantum forgiveness, because just like the discoverers of quantum physics realized that it overturned and transcended all of Newtonian physics, all of the scientific method, everything in terms of waves, wave functions, which is part of Newtonian physics, and they got to the particles and they realized that everything that they believed that they knew about the cosmos and the world was not true, and it was now coming down to potentialities, superposition, things appearing where they were thought that they would appear, where they were believed that they would appear. And that is exciting, because it's not – a science discovery that has to stay in the lab, so to speak. It's actually has everything to do with who we are. It's the gateway to our experience of being one with the source. So, yeah, I think it's exciting that we are on the threshold of this. And, you know, to use a line from the movie Solaris with George Clooney, where his partner Rhea appears to him and says, "We don't have to think like that anymore." Really, we're moving away from the stories and those linear perceptions and grievances to a whole new way of thinking in which we're whole and complete and innocent. And that truly is exciting to feel that we're right on the cusp of that right now. And it's not something that we have to wait on. You know, like you said, the truth is right here for us, very patient, saying, "Here
Thank
I
God.
Am."
I like this saying, "Come to me as a child," or another way of looking at it is, by becoming empty, you become full. And by becoming nothing, you become everything. I think it's so pliable. It's just a mirror of ourselves, and the less rigid we are with ourselves, the less rigid this perception of reality is. And so the idea of a miracle, the idea of a miracle is just transcending the belief of the past or the momentum of the past, and allowing, there's so flippin' much potential in our human, in our ability to embody the idea of what the truth has to offer us. And every point, every human being is a point of presence of this one consciousness. And there's billions of us on this beautiful, beautiful planet. When the transformation crosses that critical threshold, it's going to be a rodeo. It's going to be hold on tight, because the expansion of we've lived in such a narrow mindedness that when we allow the expansiveness of our consciousness to flow untethered within our own being, then the feeling of joy, the feeling of fulfillment, of recognizing our truth is, I mean, I think that's why our souls chose to go into the darkness, so we could rediscover our truth from a place of unknowingness. And in that space, it's really quite a thing to behold.
It's indeed a journey of miracles and discoveries, and I am just feel so honored to be a part of it, to be a full participant in that.
Very nice. Well, you know, an hour goes by pretty fast, and
I've noticed.
I wanted to make sure our listeners had a solid way to connect with you. So, if you could share with us how they could get a hold of you.
Yeah, a lot of the websites I use are just have the acronym for A Course in Miracles, ACIM, in it. So I noticed on the page that you had put up on Blog Talk Radio that the two websites listed were acim.biz and acim.me, M-E. And the .biz is a beautiful portal to many, many resources videos, audios, print materials, just all kinds of exercises, a tool called the Instrument for Peace that you can do when you're working through emotions and upsets, and kind of like portals into an online mystical mind training program, and the Movie Watcher's Guide to Enlightenment I mentioned. And then ACIM.me is actually a Spreaker radio station, just like with these blog talk radios. We do these great shows here, and then people can oftentimes tune in and listen at their convenience. And it's the same with Spreaker. So I travel around the world into 38 countries and around the United States into 49 of the 50 states, and basically have my iPhone with me, so these very enlightening discussions and talks are recorded and immediately put up to Spreaker, to ACIM.me. And people enjoy that. Sometimes they will just sit there while they're doing the dishes or, you know, baking, or at nighttime they can put their headphones on and listen. And it's just like with Blog Talk Radio, it's very nourishing to the soul. So those are the main ways that people can come in contact. And I think I have over 1,000 YouTube videos, so people will become very relaxed. One time recently, last year, I was traveling through Tennessee, and I met this woman at a gathering, and she came up to me and she said, "Oh, David, I bathe with you." And I said, "What? You bathe with me?" I said, "What does that mean?" And she said, "Well, I just, you know, run a hot tub of water, and I get in there and I'm meditating, and then I put on my computer, and I watch your YouTube videos, and it's part of a bathing meditation." So I said, "Okay, well, it's just, you know, there's all kinds of symbols nowadays with the internet that you know, that certainly I didn't grow up with, but now they're all around us, and the technology is really being used." So I find it quite humorous, but people are finding it very helpful and very effective in clearing their unconscious darkness.
Very nice. It's all roads lead to the truth. Some are just a little bit longer than others. Well, it's been a real pleasure having you on the show, and I appreciate you sharing your embodiment of the truth.
Well, thank you, Les. It's been really a joy being with you on this show, and I wish you all the success in all of your ventures with the broadcasting network you're guided to do, and with everything, because it's been just a real blessing being here with you, and I feel such love in my heart, and just thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure. You know, the truth exists within us. It's always there. You can't break your connection with it, because you already are it. And when you understand that, there's a sense of peace that fills your being. And so when you take time out to discover this truth within you, and you've done that tonight by listening to this show, you form a better connection with that truth that's within you. It's been a pleasure bringing you the show tonight, and I've really enjoyed David as our host. Thanks for joining us. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.